This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
We brought back!
You're a movie star, man. You're a global force. We'll make a comeback. They're waiting for something huge. We'll give it to them. Shape out that pathetic goatee. Get some surgery. 60's the new 30, motherfucker. You were the original, man. You paved the way for all these other little clowns. Give the people what they want. Some good old-fashioned apocalyptic porn. Birdman, the Phoenix Rises. All you have to do is... That's what I'm talking about. Bones rattling. Big, loud. Fast. Look at these people. Look at their eyes. They're all sparkling. They love the shit. They love blood. They love action. Not this talky, depressing, philosophical Yes. And the next time you screech, it'll explode into millions of eardrums. You are a god.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:40 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And our supercut today is focused on an amalgamation of things. So we're talking about dramedies, essentially that combination of drama and comedy, which is so hard to get right, so hard to land, and yet, and also you kind of... It's hard to describe. You know it when you see it. So that was a little bit, of course, of Birdman. I do have to say, who needs Christian Bale? I mean, like, that is Batman voice right there. I don't need more.
I love Birdman. I'm so glad that we started with that. And also because, I mean, what's more fun than starting with definitions, right? I think the amalgamation, you'll know it when you see it thing. What is a dramedy? Because I was trying to decide where the line lies between dramedy and dark comedy. And with something like Birdman, I'm constantly on the fence. On the one hand, in my brain, I automatically feel like it is a dramedy. But then listening to that clip suddenly got me thinking, like, wait a minute, maybe it's not. Maybe it is darker, or it deserves to be more on the side of a Tarantino than it does, say, perhaps The Chair, which we spoke about yesterday.
So I did extensive research. I Googled it to find out what a dramedy is. And on Google, it says that if the comedy derives from the plot or from character development, and that sort of gave me a little more clarity as opposed to movies that have some amount of comedy in it or movies that are overly dramatic that have comedic elements. I think if the plot itself is like weird or so outlandish or kind of out there, and it becomes comedy in nature, then it's a dramedy. Or that's what I think, or that's what Google told me.
And Google that's tells us what to think.
What to think. And that's essentially what I'm going to go with. I think that makes it slightly easier to separate the dramas with comedy from the inherent dramedies.
So
that makes sense.
I think of it as the dark end of the comedic pool, you know, meaning where if the comedy derives from a dramatic story or if there are tremendous shades of darkness, I suppose the dramedies that I tend to think about really dabble in the tragi-comedy end of things. Mm. They really play on this idea of how close the line is between crying until you laugh, laughing until you cry, and laughing because you're crying, almost, you know, and just all the variations in that. That's how I think about dramedy. And it is really difficult because I don't even think that the balance has to be perfect. I think loads of dramas or comedies have more of one element than the other, and it doesn't really detract from where it sits within the genre even.
I think also for me, a dramedy is often something that takes something that's quite everyday or experiences that we would identify as being a regular part of life without necessarily a lot of humor, whether that's grief or marriage or having children or just getting through your job, and finds humor in it, but it's not outsized, outlandish humor. It's humor in a way that also feels quite real. The same kinds of things that if you sat back and looked at your life with a 5-year gap, you might laugh at the things that made you cry back then.
It's so just like basically British humor. overall. You know, if you honestly, if you think about it, it's just like if British humor is mostly based on what everyday life, just the boredom of some parts of everyday life, and then they make it into like a full-blown comedy, and then they do it so well. Going back to even Birdman, it's that sort of concept, right? It's one of the most perfect examples of dramedy because it's mostly tragic. It's kind of sad. It's about a guy who's like, he is a quote-unquote a has-been. He's out of his prime. And then he gets all these voices in his head from his past characters and you know, when he was playing Birdman itself. And then you find humor in those sorts of things. But honestly, when you come down to it, it is nothing more than a drama that is kind of mopey and borderline depressing.
So the question I think today is, we want to hear from you, what are your favorite dramedies? I don't even really like the word all that much, but as you can tell, if we don't use that word, we're going to have to say, yes, the thing that plays on the borders, like, no. So we're going to say dramedy, you know, things that make you laugh, but that also leave you feeling a little bit hollow, things that are bittersweet fundamentally. We want to hear, what are your favorites that fall in this category, whether it's film or TV? You can, of course, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do already have some messages, but we'll come back for that. I do want to say that the next thing that we're going to play, the next clip that we're going to play, is actually something that we've talked about before, but it's such a perfect example of a dramedy, and that is Fleabag. And I think, I don't know what it is about Fleabag, whether it's just the, it's inherently very funny because she's a very, very funny performer and she's a very, very funny writer. But the drama here and the tragedy of it really stems from who she is and where we find her when we meet her.
And I think loaded with that British humor, that wryness that Arvind, you just spoke about, right? I think that's why Fleabag works so well. It's got this mix of something that people can relate to. It laughs at herself more than almost anyone else. But there's also this undertone of real tragedy and pain. And I found myself laughing uproariously at the show, but also actually being reduced to tears.
In a weird way, it's like looking or watching videos of something bad or looking at a car crash, you know, like you can't look away. But then if it's like, I guess if it's within the safety or if it's like fictional or if it's on TV, then it's kind of, it's fun to laugh at knowing that it's made up. Does it, like as long as it's
cathartic,
not real.
Oh my God.
Yes, it is.
Fleabag manages this mixture of distance and too close. So the distance is what allows us to laugh, but it's also a little bit too close. And that discomfort is part of where she minds both the drama and the comedy. So yeah, we're going to hear a little bit of Fleabag. But in the meantime, we want to know, what are your favorite dramedies, whether just on screen, right? Whether it's in film, whether it's on television. WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Stop doing that to your face.
No, I have to. I don't know what's wrong. I look so good.
It's okay. We can sort it out. Just take some of your makeup off.
I'm not wearing any makeup.
What? What has happened? I have never seen you.
I just woke up
so
looking amazing,
good.
And then everyone's going to think I got a f***ing facial for my mother's funeral.
Oh, what the hell? You look incredible.
We're trying to mess her up.
Just no matter what I do with my hair, it just keeps falling in this really chic way.
Sorry, girls. People are starting to arrive. You don't have to greet them if it's too... Gosh, you look gorgeous.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
You look glorious.
Thank you.
My deepest condolences, girls.
Thanks so much.
My God, you look well.
Thank you.
Darling, you look wonderful.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Claire.
Hi.
Gosh, grief clearly agrees with you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Julie, hey,
what do you want from Julie?
Darlene, can you excuse us?
Darlene, stay.
Why aren't you in Algebra 2?
I switched sections.
Why?
Aren't Jenna and Kyle enough?
I'm sorry that you're jealous.
Jenna is a moron, you know.
She's not. She's in AP Calculus.
She's a moron in a deeper sense.
You don't even know her.
Miss Patty assigned you a role, by the way. You just never showed up to claim it.
What role?
The Tempest. There
is no role of the Tempest.
It is the titular role.
No, it's a made-up thing, so we all can participate.
You can't do anything unless you're the center of attention, can you?
Yeah, well, you know your mom's they're fake. Totally fake.
She made one bad decision at 19.
Two bad decisions.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:49, and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmilan Arvin. And today our supercut is focused on dramedy, this combination of drama and comedy, and how hard it can be to strike that balance. So we're trying to talk about finding that sweet spot. And I think, you know, while we're discussing it, firstly, we want to keep hearing from you. What are some of your favorite dramedies? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. But, you know, some filmmakers, the entire breadth of their work lives in the dramedy realm, right? So Greta Gerwig, for a long time, pre-Little Women, I would argue, really lived in this particular blend. I think we talked a lot off-air as well about someone like Wes Anderson. And I think it's something to do with the director's preferred tone or preferred stories.
I think it's a certain, like, it almost feels like every line is coming with a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, but not in a way that's annoying. Greta Gerwig is almost like the poster person for dramedies, I think, because almost even Little Women often has that tone, like certain scenes, the way that certain lines or certain characters speak to each other. There's just a very, life often feels absurd as much as it is serious. And I like that. And I think that's actually part of the pleasure of dramedies, that for me particularly, it helps me look at my life and go, yeah, maybe it's not that bad. There's something to be laughed about here.
It's also interesting that both of them are such polar opposites, Greta Gerwig and Wes Anderson, because one of them, she takes like the hyper real stuff like Lady Bird. It's so grounded and there's so much realism and it sort of amps up the drama and then it has like an undertone of comedy. Wes Anderson is like completely the other side. Nothing looks real. Like nothing looks like it came out of this world. Nothing looks natural. Everything's set up. Everything looks like it's a stage. The colors are so surreal, but it also deals with like the same themes, like the same people, character development, emotions, growth, coming of age stuff. And I just find that like, so it doesn't, I guess that means that dramedies don't have to be real, real, as long as they resonate and they are like relatable. Even stuff like Jojo Rabbit, are good dramedies.
Can I just say the awkwardness in Wes Anderson is so real though. And
oh my
I think
God, yes.
That helps in making it feel real.
The pauses.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the pauses.
So that's what I was going to say, right? I think that it comes down also to the different ways that you find both comedy and drama, because in the case of Wes Anderson, sometimes the way characters look is fundamentally absurd, like the way that they're dressed, the choices that they make in the smallest little actions. I'm thinking here of Grand Budapest Hotel, for example, which also had Saoirse Ronan actually in a completely outlandish role compared to Lady Bird. And so I think that there is a huge difference in terms of the way different filmmakers mine the comedy or mine the drama. And when it comes to Wes Anderson and the pauses, the thing is, right, the awkwardness and the sadness are both expressed in the same way. Sometimes when a character takes a beat after someone else says something, it's either to get you to laugh or for you to feel your heart drop because you're suddenly so sad for that character. And that's quite a magical thing.
I think it's, when it comes right down to it, the best dramedies, the best writer and directors of dramedies, I think they're great observers of real life. They don't look at movies necessarily as a way to take you away from reality, but almost as a way to mine stories, entertainment from real life and all of those things, the cadences of how people talk, body language when you're communicating with each other, just how people communicate and or even look at themselves. All of those things are so everyday, but being able to like pull it out and make something out of it is what makes a dramedy so interesting.
So I guess like the question then is like, do dramedies have to be dark all the time? Like we spoke about this before the break, but then do they always have to be dark and can they be like lighthearted and stuff? Because I'm thinking if they were completely lighthearted, even if they were dramatic, then they would be just either comedies or something else entirely. I can't think of, I honestly can't think of any dramedy that is super ha-ha out there, fun to watch on a casual Saturday that won't make you think about life and relationships and yourself, essentially.
Yeah, because I wouldn't describe something like Little Miss Sunshine as necessarily dark, but it does have an undertone of darkness.
There is struggle and suffering.
Bittersweet. I think Lynn used the word bittersweet earlier, and I think that's great because most of them come with at least a little bit of the bitter.
Yeah, but I think there's also a feel-good quality here, you know, because otherwise I don't think that they would have been as successful as they are. And I'm thinking of something like As Good As It Gets. So if we go back a little bit older, which is Jack Nicholson at perhaps his most congenial, which is saying a lot considering who the character is and it's Jack Nicholson. But when I watch As Good As It Gets, which has such a, you know, a curmudgeon at its heart, right? Somebody who just doesn't enjoy anybody, who is every kind of phobic you could think of, including homophobic and just everything else. And yet at the end of it, it is a feel-good film. So I think while there is the tragedy of the lived experiences and the fact that you know that this person was deeply lonely, and a lot of the characters that we're talking about have fundamental damage, which is actually not something that we mentioned, I think that the thing about dramedies is that you will have the peaks and valleys, and the peaks do have a real feel-good quality to them, which is what keeps you going. I want to say that we spent so much time on definitions, again, the most fun way to start a show, that we didn't actually talk about whether we like this genre, which is something that we usually address at the start.
I love dramedies. I think it's exactly all of those things that we've been talking about, the emotional highs and lows, the mirror to something that feels very familiar and lived in. I think if I look back at some of my most favorite films, I've already mentioned Little Miss Sunshine, but there's also, to some extent, Truman Show, a lot of Charlie Kaufman. It all sits very squarely within the dramedy area just because of how much I love watching something that feels like life, but through a kind of funhouse mirror.
Yeah, I love dramedies, but also there has to be some sort of, I feel like there has to be some sort of buy-in on my part. They're not casual movies that I can watch at any time, even if they're lighthearted. Like I can watch Lady Bird like any number of times, but it can't be on like a random weekday night. You know what I mean? There has to be a vibe, and I have to fully appreciate dramedies for what they are. They're not just like breeze by sort of films.
Yeah, I get that. I think sometimes you want to watch something that isn't going to sink your entire evening, but you also don't just want to watch, you know, the movie equivalent of a YouTube video where it's just something that you can have on and just breeze past. We do have loads of recommendations coming in. So let's see. Two people mentioning one show, so I think that's worth bringing up. Malik says, Ted Lasso, you know, it does feel like a spectrum. Sweet Dream Malaysia also says Ted Lasso. Malik goes on to say, is Mr. Corman a dramedy? I do laugh. And lots of Apple TV mentions there. I think that those are all definitely dramedy. So I recently got on the Ted Lasso train after everybody's been telling us to, and oh my Lord, it is really good. I think it helps if you're a football fan, but it's great regardless. And I think that the actors and the creators of that show have pushed back against the kindness narrative, because a lot of people go on and on about Ted Lasso is about radical kindness and openness. And I think it is all those things. But there's also a lot of depression and mental illness in there. And I think that mental health. And I think a big part of the appeal of a dramedy is the way it works that in.
You mean to say it lassoed you in?
Well, at one point.
Oh, slow clap. Slow clap.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. I don't know if I can slow clap that.
I'm sorry. But I wanted to say that I'm glad we're in TV territory, because I think TV is really where dramedies thrive. Like so many TV shows, I don't even think sitcoms are a huge thing anymore. I feel like sitcoms have almost become dramedies at this point.
I also love the mention of Ted Lasso. I also haven't seen it yet, but Jason Sudeikis does a lot of good dramedy, come to think about it. What's that other one he did with Anne Hathaway? Colossal. Ooh. I think, is a really good dramedy in that genre especially.
And has a little bit of monster in there because, you know, who doesn't want that? Let's see. Okay, since we mentioned Ted Lasso, we also have Shamil saying 90 minutes of an Arsenal game. I will slow clap that one. I really love the injection of true tragedy into our show today.
Which is what we said dramedies were.
That's what I'm saying. So keep those recommendations coming. We want to hear from you. What are some of your favorite dramedies? The things that make you both laugh and cry? The things that leave you with that bittersweet feeling? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And if you want a sampling of exactly how dark a dramedy can get, here is a little bit of Afterlife.
Hey, guys.
What?
It's your post.
Put it to the door.
Well, you're here, so it saves me a trip.
I don't want to walk with it, do I?
Why not?
You're new, aren't you?
Yeah, I was transferred.
No, I don't care. But presumably in your old round, you used to put things through the door, didn't you?
Mate, there's no need to get all leery.
Why are you talking to me like this?
What, are you going to report me?
Yeah. What's your name?
Your law.
Trust me.
It's Pat.
Postman Pat?
Yeah.
Put it to the door. That was easy, wasn't it?
You could have done that.
No, I couldn't.
Why not?
I'm not a postman.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Bad, you have to have a strategy.
I hate my illness, and I want to control it.
I hope you're okay with Veronica's sister coming over.
Tiffany and Tommy?
Just Tiffany.
What happened to Tommy?
He died.
How'd he die?
Please, don't bring it up.
Hey, Tiffany, this is Pat.
You look nice.
Thank you.
How'd Tommy die?
What meds are you on?
I used to be on lithium and Seroquel.
I was on Xanax.
You ever take Klonopin?
Klonopin, yeah.
I guess I was.
I'm tired, I want to go. Are you going to walk me home or what?
You have poor social skills. You have a problem.
I have a problem? Mm-hmm. You say more inappropriate things than appropriate things.
Doc, she's crazy.
Hey!
Whoa, what the hell? She knew where I was. She followed me.
Then why don't you run somewhere else?
Calm down, crazy.
Maybe she just needs a friend.
You want to have dinner at this diner?
Pick me up at 7:30.
BFM 89.9, it's 8:09. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvind. Our supercut tonight is focused on dramedies, those films and shows that make us laugh and cry in equal measure, that are bittersweet, that tread that line. And we've been asking you for your favorites. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And that was a little bit of the really star-studded Silver Linings Playbook. And just to quickly say that we got lots of people mentioning that film, which we'll get to shortly. But I think I wanted to start off with the fact that Jennifer Lawrence won an Oscar for that role. And I think that Oscars are often associated with the more dramatic roles, with the more tragic roles. And it's kind of interesting and telling that she won it and was subsequently nominated for another dramedy. Where it's kind of, I don't know, would you say Silver Linings is more funny than it is tragic?
That's a tough question, you know, because I feel like it's the kind of movie that you laugh at a lot more, but then the moments that get you really get you. For me, when I came away from it, I didn't come away from it feeling necessarily happy. I came away more reflective. I think her performance in that is really good. In fact, I always recommend Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle as like an amazing double bill by David O. Russell, just because they're both so great at I think doing this thing where they get you in ways that you don't expect. And American Hustle as well is a great example of a dramedy. I don't know. I think it's actually more difficult to be simultaneously funny and tragic.
Yeah, I don't even know if Silver Linings Playbook is pure comedy or if I'm just amused. Because if I think about it, I don't think I laughed like out loud even once during that film. But I was like constantly amused and sort of like just glued onto the characters themselves. So they're like super interesting characters doing super interesting, weird, awkward things that keep people amused, right? But I don't know if it's comedy, like, you know, like, haha, this is so, you know, I can't get enough of this sort of thing.
That and Silver Linings Playbook, it's been a while since it came out, almost in throwback territory, not quite, but almost. And the thing about it was that I remember that the conversation around it there were lots of people worried about the way that it talked about mental health. And we heard actually a fair amount of it in that trailer, right? This idea of, oh, she's crazy, he's crazy. And I think there were worries that it was stigmatizing. There were other worries that it was glamorizing mental health. There were all these conversations going around it. And I do think that that is something that dramedies are able to do that perhaps others cannot, which is to say, to tackle difficult subjects that perhaps in a more serious setting, you would turn away from. It would be harder to get bums in seats. It would be harder to get eyes on screen. But when you add a sense of levity, when you add a dancing contest into it in the middle of nowhere, perhaps it's a little more, and I say this with caution, I know it sounds like I'm damning with faint praise, but I don't mean it that way. It's more palatable.
You mentioned As Good As It Gets just now. And, you know, that's also a film that I'm not necessarily sure whether today, if they made it, it would be as welcomed. I still love it. When I rewatch it, I enjoy it so much. But again, using mental health conditions that people might struggle with as a way to explore both why it's important that we talk about these things, but also the discomforts and the tough parts of living in that life. And I think it's such a fine line to walk, because Silver Linings Playbook, I can perhaps understand why some of that criticism comes that way. But on the other hand, I also think it does a lot to normalize talking about mental health, which is so important.
And I guess that also made it the success that it is, right, or was, because it pushed it into the mainstream. It had that sort of like water cooler effect to it, where everyone was like discussing what it means and dissecting the movie. I don't know if this is true, though, but is Silver Linings Playbook the most successful dramedy that you guys can think of? Because I looked up Box Office Mojo, and it made $236 million worldwide, which is a small receipt for any big blockbuster. Like, any superhero movie gets that, like, domestically at least. But for a dramedy, I think that's a huge amount, like $236 million worldwide box office. And I don't know why, but I can't think of dramedies that are as successful as Silver Linings. And they normally don't go on to make that much. They're not commercial hits. They are more like awards hits and, you know, indie darlings and stuff. Not so much blockbuster successes.
I'm trying to think of things like maybe 500 Days of Summer, which also were breakout hits. But yeah, they're generally not the blockbusters.
They're not cinema movies, are they? I mean, I was thinking about this in relation to another Bradley Cooper film, A Star is Born, because I think that's maybe the last time I was in a cinema to watch what I would consider a drama, you know, a straightforward drama. It is, in fact, a melodrama, you could almost say, right? With a very traditional structure. It's a story that's been told over and over again. And I mean, I'm glad I did, because it is a big screen. It's a big screen treat. But when I think about comedies, dramas, and dramedies, increasingly, I'm unsure whether or not those are big screen movies at all, and whether the fact that they've had the indie sensibility in the past, the fact that they're likely to hold on to that, means that in future they might increasingly not be. Because Silver Linings Playbook is, I think I enjoyed it as much in cinema as I did watching it at home.
I think they used to be cinema movies, and probably are not anymore, just for the simple fact that almost everything used to be a cinema movie at one point. But now, because of streaming, a lot of dramedies, I think in the same way that dramedies work so well in television, is probably the same reason why we're going to see more and more of these films pop up, either as films being released on streaming or even miniseries and so on and so forth, which is both good and bad. I like being able to go to the cinema for a drama, as you said, and I kind of miss that, when that used to be a bigger option.
They're also victims of like really bad marketing, if you think about it. Like, they
because
always...
how do you market it? As a tragedy, as a comedy?
Exactly. And then I remember watching the trailer for Birdman, and they used most of the clip that we used just now. So that's the only clip that has like special effects and CGI. It's supposed to be satire, and that's how they promoted it to everyone. I honestly remember watching that movie in the cinema and seeing like a lot of people get up and leave. So at least 4 to 5 people leave their seats in front of me and just walk out of the cinema because of how boring it was. So I think that's another issue. They're always marketed as either a comedy or a drama, and people who buy into it then end up having this weird Roja thing that's both, and they don't know how to process it.
This reminds me of our discussion last week about Les Mis and how some people thought they were in for a war movie and instead got, you know, people singing at each other. Just to say that Victor on Instagram did say Silver Linings Playbook, but also said Dead Poets Society. And I have to say that I think Dead Poets Society is straight up drama.
Yes, me too. I mean, because it features Robin Williams, so he brings a little bit of that manic energy to some of the scenes. But yeah, I think it's overall, I would think of it as a drama as well.
Same. Well, what about Good Morning Vietnam?
Ooh.
I think that's a dramedy. And that's the one where the eddy could also include tragedy because it has a fair element of that.
I would even argue something like Good Will Hunting could fall into dramedy, only because there's so much like sort of weird humor happening.
Yeah, but I think Dead Poets Society and where it ultimately goes too dark. It just kind of veers off the comedic train. On the other hand, Nurul has what to my mind is a straightforward comedy. Nurul says Modern Family.
Oh, so see, TV is interesting, right? Because Modern Family is built like a sitcom. But see, so for me, Scrubs is dramedy.
Yes.
So if Scrubs is dramedy, maybe Modern Family can be as well.
I was thinking more of Arrested Development more than Modern Family because it has like a backbone story to it. Like you see progression. Modern Family, I don't know if there's actual progression or not. So there's no drama.
And whether it truly goes dark. Modern Family rarely goes that dark, right?
I think some of the arcs get a little bit dark, but not so much, whereas Arrested Development starts with prison and bankruptcy. You know, so it really goes there. And there's a loose seal involved and there are hooks, you know, so it does really go to some dark places. In that same vein, Ken Hong says, where do you put Fawlty Towers in?
Oh, so Fawlty Towers, because of how absurd so many of the situations are, and just the physical comedy. Mm. For me, that feels like a comedy. But Blackadder sometimes, I think, toes the line, especially the latter seasons.
The latter seasons, yes. Agree.
The last season in particular, I think, straight up. Ken Hong also says Stephen Chow's Fist of Fury movies. And Stephen Chow as an inclusion in dramedy, I think, is interesting because similar to Robin Williams appearing in Dead Poets Society, and therefore, you know, I think that there are some actors that are so deeply associated with a certain genre that by their very existence, they get chucked into a certain category. And then in that movie, you sometimes have to move them out of it because you're like, oh, wait, hold on. This isn't what I thought it was.
Yeah, actors are tough, right? It's just like how Jim Carrey struggles so much to be taken seriously, even though he's done some very serious roles.
I was actually thinking when preparing for the show, Kung Fu Hustle, but then that's more of an action comedy more than a dramedy, even though it has drama in it, right?
Yeah, I would think so. So keep those thoughts coming. We want to know what your favorite dramedies are, whether it is in film or television. So the things that make you laugh and cry, that have that bittersweet quality to them. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We've had so many good recommendations coming in. We'll be back for more. But we started off this segment at least with a little clip that had, like I said, a dancing competition. So in that vein of dramedies being able to tackle unusual topics, here's more of men or boys dancing. This is Billy Elliot.
Right then, lads. Now give it all you got. Round one. Well, don't just stand there, Elliot.
We love to boogie. We love to boogie. We love to boogie.
Why don't you join in?
Thinking of the Royal Ballet School.
Aren't you a bit old, miss?
Not me, you.
Ballet.
What's wrong with ballet?
Lads do boxing or wrestling, not ballet.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
I don't want my own apartment. I don't feel ready mentally to have my own keys, my own plumbing, my own angry Ukrainian sucker. I don't feel prepared to take on that kind of responsibility alone. The only thing I feel prepared to take on right now This very minute. It's those fucking losers at the bar. I mean, look at them. The before picture in a Charles Atlas male virility enhancement app. Just standing there waiting for me to bomb. It's midnight on a Tuesday, and the highlight of their evening is the possibility of seeing a chick fail. Am I supposed to find them intimidating? Because all I see is a lineup of men who had to go into comedy just to get...
BFM 89.9, it's 8:23 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvind. And we're talking today about dramedies, best exemplified, I think, by this wonderful confection of a show that I love so very much that does like all these things that makes you feel great and hollow all at once. And that's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
So I started watching Marvelous Mrs. Maisel for two reasons. One, because Lynn recommended it so highly.
Wouldn't shut up, actually.
And then I ended up watching it and I loved it, but also because it was written by Amy Sherman-Palladino and I used to love the Gilmore Girls. And I think that even though the shows are very different, they're both dramedies. And I think that that sort of reliance on wit and the sparkle of the people playing those characters is something that translates across both shows really well. But also the fact that with these funny, witty, sparkling characters, you also get things that are really difficult. People going through divorce and death and struggling with who they are and who they want to become. And there's something really lovely about watching that and watching it, I think, episode after episode on TV.
It's also funny how the show uses comedy, like actual literal comedy in its dramedy, but the comedy isn't the funniest part of the show. Like the comedy is just like the breeze-by thing that she's doing. And then every other aspect of her life and the people around her are the actual comedy. So there's so, I don't even know how many layers that is or how many layers in the writing that is, but it's such a, it's so smart. The show is so, so intelligent.
Also, so beautiful. So I used confection for a reason because it looks like a confection, right? It's really beautiful. It's got all these colors. The set design is amazing. The wardrobe is amazing. And that takes us all the way to the beginning when we were talking about Wes Anderson and the ways in which I think with the dramedies, with that weird blend of heavy and light, sometimes the aesthetics go a long way. So we've been asking you, of course, for some of your favorite dramedies. And there are so many left to look through. So Arvind says, A Ghost Story, Forrest Gump, Spanglish and Frank.
Oh, so two of those just bring up, actually all of those bring up posters in my head because Ghost Story is Casey Affleck, literally with a sheet. Frank is the one with both of which I haven't watched, but with the huge weird character.
I'm dying to talk about Frank. So I will get to that in a bit.
Well, and also Forrest Gump, like all of those are visually such striking choices and great choices. I want to watch at least two of those.
A Ghost Story is such an interesting recommendation because I would have never thought of it as a comedy. It's one of my favorite films, but I don't know where the comedy comes from, actually.
Yeah, beyond the sheet? I don't know.
Yeah, beyond the absurdness of... But then what I understand, the reason he wears it is also kind of sad, so...
It is.
Without giving it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think without giving it away. So Frank is a really interesting film because it's written by John Ronson. It's based on his experiences of working with a sort of a band with a singer who never took off his papier-mâché head, I want to say. I think the head is basically made of papier-mâché. And so Michael Fassbender plays Frank, and it is as absurd as it sounds, but it's also kind of really glorious. It has these off-kilter characters and situations. And through it all, there is also the central mystery and worry in some ways over the very lonesome figure that is Frank. But you also have Maggie Gyllenhaal playing the theremin and, you know, just doing all that. So, yeah, I think if anyone's in the mood for a really interesting dramedy, Frank is great. Munif says, One Punch Man, peak dramedy anime. A superhero who hilariously wrecks his opponents with a single punch without fail every time. The brutal lack of a challenge leaves him helplessly, depressingly bored. His overwhelming power kills his passion, ambition, and aspirations to be a superhero. How can one heroically fight adversity and impossible odds when everything is a breeze? It's genius.
Wow, that synopsis is a dramedy right there. Like, I immediately want to watch it.
Yeah, it sounds genius. Right? I didn't know that's what One Punch Man was about.
We also have Xander, who says, "Life is beautiful. The Italian film is a dramedy for me."
Mm. Ooh, that's a straight up tragedy, I must say. Although I can understand why. Because, again, it's baked into the structure of the story that it's meant to be funny for a reason. But no, that film, I can't even rewatch it because I cry too much.
I would put in the tragedy basket. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing, right? Like, here we are going on and on about how dramedies allow you to see the light in the dark and all that. And then all it takes is one concentration camp and suddenly we're we're unable.
We're like, nope.
Yeah. We're like, shut it down. Danny has a really, like, really wonderfully descriptive message. So, firstly says, "Hi, it's been a while since the MCO lockdown. Danny, nice to hear from you again." Saying, "I have a few dramedies in mind. Just last night I watched this and I realized it's been 60 years since the release of Breakfast at Tiffany's by Blake Edwards. The standout scene for me is when Paul first meets Holly Golightly at her apartment to use her telephone. In her groggy stupor, she opens her fridge to pull out a pair of pink flats and starts sipping milk from a champagne glass. On the serious side, Holly is a society girl who's struggling to live in New York City, searching for a rich man to marry while Paul slowly falls in love with her. And I love the mention of Breakfast at Tiffany's. I do also think, I think the standout scene for me that melts that idea of dramedy may involve Kat.
I was going to say the cat scene, but thank you for that description. I love that scene as well. Breakfast at Tiffany's is, I think, such a perfect example of a dramedy because there are some parts of it that are really funny and then some parts that just leave you feeling so sad. That's a great suggestion.
Is it wrong to say that a lot of movies from that era were dramedies?
I was thinking about that, you know, that because I can think of so many films. I think golden era of Hollywood sort of blended those genres a lot more than they do now.
Yes, but they wouldn't have marketed it that way. So if we come back to that, right? Like, I doubt that Breakfast at Tiffany's, the cafe execs were like rubbing their hands and going, Audrey Hepburn in a dramedy, this will sell. You know, instead they were like, I think that they really didn't, I doubt, would have thought of it that way, which is, I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of that. Danny goes on to say, "Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind by Michelle Gondry, Kate Winslet and Jim Carrey are amazing in this film of a man who recently erased his memory of a woman but slowly rediscovers her once more."
We've talked so much about Eternal Sunshine. I love that film. Once again, not quite sure whether it's a dramedy for me just because it leaves me a little bit too sad.
I would say like trippy drama.
I am always sad when I watch Eternal Sunshine. And I think, like,
that pause took a little too long.
I know.
That's a dramedy pause.
Thank you. It's a Wes Anderson pause. I worked on that. But I think that Eternal Sunshine is one where you either have to be sad to watch it in the first place, at least for me, or after you watch it, you feel sad but satisfied. That's kind of where it hits. Mm-hmm. But I think this goes back to Dead Poets Society and the Robin Williams halo effect. And in this case, the sort of, it's not even Jim Carrey who's the funny one here. I think it's more in the Mark Ruffalo, Elijah Wood side of things.
Do you guys remember when he did Man in the Mirror and the film was marketed as a comedy? And it really isn't. It's about the tragic life of a comedian being played by a comedian. I think that effect is real.
Same.
Danny finishes off with Hannah and Alice by Shunji Iwai, a story of two high school girls falling for the same boy. In between, we see the daily mundane life of both of them as they grapple between their friendship and the rivalry for that love.
Oh, I've not watched that one, but it sounds lovely.
It sounds a lot like Lady Bird, in a way. Mm.
Lady Bird is so good. Okay, sidebar. Thevin says, "Succession, season 3 is coming soon."
Succession is a great conversation point because is that a dramedy or is that a black comedy?
Black comedy or dark comedy?
Yeah,
I think family drama, because I think the interplay between the characters, the way it starts, the fact that it has its roots in Shakespeare, right? And this is not me making that observation, it's something they've talked about. I think goes a long way towards supplying the drama. But you know, when you watch two people who are siblings, like, slap each other around in a hospital, it lapses into pure comedy.
I will agree, though. Season 3 is coming, is cause for celebration.
Cannot wait. What, a month away? Yes.
Can't wait for that tomlet, guys. Can't wait for that tomlet. Jesper has... I've been saving Jesper's message for last because it's a long list and there's so many good ones. So I'm going to break it up into chunks. So Jesper starts with Jerry Maguire, La La Land, Cats. Sorry, Cats. okay. Jerry Maguire, La La Land, Cats, Juno, The Graduate, Being John Malkovich, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Forrest Gump, Silver Linings Playbook.
All great suggestions except for Cats. Jerry Maguire is a great example of a dramedy, isn't it? It's quite perfect in its whole, like, it's funny, it's absurd, but there are parts of it which are just difficult and tough and real. I could rewatch that movie again and again.
I love the mention of Being John Malkovich because that guy is like a walking dramedy. He's like, he's the definition of a dramedy.
Oh, hey, before we continue with Jesper's list, right? I did want to ask, though, about Jerry Maguire. That reminded me of something I wanted to bring up, which is that every genre has its beats and every genre has its stereotypes. But the thing about dramedy, right, is can you do a paint-by-numbers dramedy? I think you can, in the sense that insert family tragedy here or, you know, insert rise and fall. But I think it falls flat even harder than paint-by-numbers rom-coms or paint-by-numbers action films.
I think so. We've seen people try to do Wes Anderson, for instance, or Tim Burton. And it just doesn't work because... I think we said at the very beginning of the show that you kind of know it when you see it. And trying to build it when you don't quite see it, I think often fails.
I think the perfect example of that would be The Way, Way Back. That was supposed to be like a huge dramedy and exploration and stuff. But when I think of that movie, it's so paint by numbers and it's such a template film that it's just forgettable and not enjoyable at all. But it's one of the best examples of a dramedy. I think it appears in like every dramedy list.
So the reason why I wanted to bring it up, in line with Jesper's recommendations is because of Jerry Maguire and Cameron Crowe. Because Cameron Crowe is another director and writer who works almost exclusively in the dramedy vein. Mm. He does that all the time. And I think we've seen him lapse into self-parody. And it's interesting because he's definitely somebody who knows how to do it. We see that in Jerry Maguire. We see it also in another one that Jesper's bringing up, which is Almost Famous.
Yes.
But... then you also see Elizabeth Town and is it Aloha? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Yes.
And
they're both very parody of the dramedy genre.
Of himself. And it's kind of weird to watch somebody who knows how to do the thing not do the thing.
I think it's when you sort of become too serious about the thing. I think you need to have a healthy sense of comedicness when you're making a dramedy and not kind of buy into your own hype.
But it wasn't done on purpose, right? Like, he wasn't doing, like, satire of the genre and sort of, like...
I don't think so, especially not Elizabeth Town, which really is... It feels... It's almost like every beat is a little too late and it falls flat.
So started believing his own hype.
I think so.
Jesper does go on to say, however, also Breakfast at Tiffany's, at TV, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Gilmore Girls, Parenthood, This Is Us, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I'm Dying Up Here, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, and Bridget Jones's Diary.
Last three were such great examples. I'm going to pick at This Is Us because that was when Arvind got me onto watching. Is that dramedy for you?
I wouldn't call it dramedy. I would call it family drama. That's like pure family drama. Moments of comedy and maybe even purely drama. But I don't. There's not much comedy in there, I would say.
I have to give my periodic shout out to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend because it is one of the best TV shows that has come out in the last decade, I want to say, and I don't think enough people watched it, and it's brilliant. Arvin, I apologize. It is a musical. Songs do interrupt the narrative. But, okay, so that's it from us on dramedies. I did want to ask you both in closing, if you had to pick one thing to introduce somebody to this genre or to take us into the weekend, right? Like if you would recommend one dramedy for someone to watch this weekend, what would it be?
Little Miss Sunshine. I love it to pieces. It's such a fun film. Not fun in that way, but it's such a funny, but also thought-provoking film.
I think I'm going to go back to what I said earlier about John Malkovich. I think Being John Malkovich, because it's not the easiest dramedy to sort of watch. But then if you can get through that, you probably fall in love with the whole genre.
Cool. So I'm going to go much lighter, much easier to watch, I think, and end with saying that Ted Lasso is a great show. I know that we're kind of late to the party in terms of critical acclaim. They've really got it sorted. But if you haven't seen Ted Lasso yet, you'll be happy. You'll be happy that you did. So, yeah. Let us know what are some of your favorite dramedies. Keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can, of course, also reach us by writing to us at movies@bfm.my. And we are on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok as BFM Popcorn. So check us out there. This has been Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.